Good morning. Everybody good this morning? All right, two people. I'm going to just leave it there. I hope the rest of you will join us and be good as well. Hey, everybody look up real quick. All right, now we got a couple more. Look up just real quick. Look up to the sky. You know, last night it was going to be 70, 80% chance of rain while we was out here. Let's thank the Lord for some sun this morning. How about that? We will be here rain or shine, but I've got to confess, I like to shine a little better, all right? Well, this morning, a lot of times we come to a passage in Scripture, and I will do the normal preacher thing and say, man, this is one of my favorite passages. Anybody ever heard me say that? One or two people? I think I'm on record of saying that about 100 times of different passages. This morning is not one of those. In fact, if I'm honest, I love the faith and the outcome we see by today's passage, but it is a troubling and frightening passage to me. So I'm not going to put this in the category of one of my favorites, but it is one that has always troubled me. I'll be honest about that. So I want to tell you this morning, full transparency. I will say this, that my kids and my family, I know, belong to God. If you're a dad, if you've got family that you've entrusted to the Lord, you understand that they are not truly yours. You get to enjoy them for a season, but they belong to God. But the test of faith and how it involves family this morning, if you've been with us, we've been in Hebrews, looking at each story as we go along, and then looking at the Old Testament counterpart to that person's faith and their story. And today, we're at a passage that, I'll be honest, maybe you could say the same. When you get to the passage, it kind of just weirds you out a little bit, because it involves a dad and his one and only son and the faith that it took to do what God had called him to do. So we're back in Hebrews. I'm going to read a couple of verses, and then we'll go back to the Old Testament story about this scripture, okay? So Hebrews 11, starting at verse 17, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he had received the promises, was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.' He considered that God was even able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." Anybody know the story of Abraham and his son Isaac? You probably could say the same thing. Man, that is a troubling story, to say the least, that God would even call a father to lay down his son, his everything, and lay him down on an altar. It is a troubling story, to say the least. I want us to go to the Old Testament story. We'll look at this real quick, and then we'll pray and kind of get into it for a moment this morning. But before we do, I want to take you back and rewind to last week. If you remember last week, we talked about the faith of Sarah. Anybody that was here last week remembers that. And so this promise, and how they kind of jumped ahead, and Hagar, and all of this story where Abraham laid with Sarah's servant and had Ishmael. And then we get to Isaac, and the promise to both of them, okay? Everybody check this way. When we get to the promise of that, Abraham is 99 years old, Sarah is 90, and the promise of offspring, of where God says, "I'm going to make you into this great nation," right? This great family. And Abraham says to God, "But I don't even have a child. How are you going to make me the father of a great nation? I don't even have any offspring." God promises, and we see that Sarah laughs and that Abraham laughs, right? They're like, "Hold on a minute, are you kidding me?" Right? We're old. How is this going to happen? And we want to believe. We want to take you at your word. And if we rewind even further, we see that Abraham has already made Hebrews 11 this hall of faith, if you will, to where he was asked, "I want you to go into a land that I will show you. I'm not even going to give you the rest of the picture, but I want you to go." And it says, Abraham went. So I want to take you to today in Scripture. We're going to see this same moment where he calls Abraham really to even more an outlandish thing than go to a place I'll show you, to "I want you to sacrifice your son to me, your everything," right? Your pride and joy, the one that I promised, the one that you are going to be this father of great nations through, I want you to lay him on an altar and give him up to me. And I'm going to go on and spoil it in case you have to leave. I want to tell you two things, two spoilers. Everybody hates spoiler alerts, but if you leave, I got to share this. It was never God's intent to take Isaac. It was his intent to offer provision, okay? The other part of the story is that just when Abram was called to go and he went, he's called here to lay his son down, and it says he rose up and did it. I'm here to tell you this morning, I don't have that kind of faith. I got two wonderful children, and if God calls me to that, I know it wouldn't make sense, but I would try to run to the uttermost parts of the earth with them, protect them, die for them, do whatever I could, okay? Like, I don't have that kind of faith, and I'll be honest, I don't know that I want that kind of, like, that is such an extreme faith, right? But that is what God is calling us to. And so I want to read from Genesis 22, that story just quickly this morning, and we'll talk for just a few moments. So starting in Genesis 22, it says this, "After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.'" I want to tell you, that's a good place to start. If you ever hear God speaking to you and calls you by name, I want you to say, "Here I am." In fact, if you want to listen to the depths of your soul this morning, we've talked the last few weeks, and we've talked about the shallows, right? The just the daily just grind, the stuff that really doesn't matter, that occupies most of our headspace. And then we think about the Midlands, where it's these worrisome things that keep us up at night, like how am I going to pay this bill, or how am I going to do this at work, or how am I going to deal with this relationship? And then we get to the depths where we deal with the eternal stuff with God. But most of the time, we're so wrapped up in the shallows and the Midlands that we never get to the depths. So I want us to give ourselves permission this morning to go to the depths and listen to the voice of God. And if he's calling you by name, just start simply with, "Here I am." All right? Sounds simple, but it's kind of tough. We got to focus. I'm going to be honest this morning. Everybody look this way, especially this morning. There's some extracurricular going on this morning, okay? It's tough to focus. But here I am, right? We listen. It's okay. God's bigger than any of that. Here I am. All right? So can we do that just for a moment? In fact, I'm going to give you permission and space to do that right now in your own heart. Just bow for a second. And I want you to picture the God of this universe. If you know him, this isn't hard to do because he speaks. He still speaks. Talked about it last week. I want you just to ask him this. God, would you just, in my spirit right now, he's not going to do it in an audible voice. Maybe this is new to you. But ask him to speak. Just say, "God, do you know me? Say my name." If you do, just whisper my name. Say my name. And then just say this. "Here I am. What do you have for me?" All right, everybody there? Amen. We're in with that. All right, so we're going to get into Genesis. So after he says that, he said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you." Here he is again. Right? I mean, Abraham's been called to a place that he didn't know the direction for before. This is not uncharted territory for Abraham. So he's going to tell him, "Take your son, and by the way, I'll just show you on the way where to go." So he doesn't even know where necessarily he's going. Now, I can't tell you the extra biblical conversation that happened here. All I can tell you is recorded. But I can tell you from a father's heart that in between verse 2 and 3 of my life, if God tells me to take my son and lay him on an altar, there's going to be a lot of conversation in between verse 2 and 3 right here. But all we know is he says, "I want you to take your son Isaac and go where I'll tell you." And verse 3 starts this way. "So Abraham rose early in the morning." Do you already see the faith that maybe you don't have? You put yourself in the boat with me. I don't have that kind of faith. I don't. I'm on record. Don't know that I want that kind of faith. That's some of that stuff of like really, really walking with God. You've put him not as the co-pilot of your life, but the pilot walking in step with him. There's places I want that in my life, but not here. God, you can't ask that of me. That would be my everything. It was to Abraham. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering. And he arose and he went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Can you imagine? Just want to put yourself here. In a journey of 3 days, knowing what God has called you to, he does not have the rest of the story. 3 days journeying, looking at his son, making eye contact, thinking about the promise, thinking of God, you said everything's going to come from this, and now you're going to take it from me? Anybody ever been in a season, or maybe in a season right now, where God is definitely quiet? He's promised, he's spoken, but yet you're on the journey and you haven't heard a peep. Don't even know where you're going, what's going on, but you are just listening. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took his hand, the fire, the knife, and so they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, son." And he said, "Behold, the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So they both went together. When they came to him, to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar atop of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. Can we stop right there? Anybody have a problem with this passage? Man, what the what? And I want to go on and put some credit on Isaac right here. Nobody talks about the faith of Isaac. I want to tell you, God, I mean, like, I'm here and I'm walking with you just like my dad. I see the fire. I see the wood. I see the knife. Where's the lamb? And Abraham looks at his son and says, "My son, God will provide. But by the way, in the meantime, I'm going to need for you to hop up on this wood." And you know what it says? That Isaac hopped up on the wood. Can we get an amen for the faith of Isaac? I'm telling you, I'm running for the hills. Abraham, you're going to have to catch me. I'm guessing, by the way, Abraham has been 99 years old for a little while, on up into 100. I'm saying Isaac could have outran him, don't you think? Right? Anybody getting up there in age, finding it a little tougher to run, tougher to run. I recently got into running lately, and it landed me back to physical therapy and a shot in my knee. Right? It happens. The lady was so cautious, too. She wanted so bad to say arthritis, and she was just like, "I know you're young. I know you're trying to get in shape, but don't freak out. It's okay, you can say it. I'm getting old, I understand," right? It happens. Isaac could have outran him. But what does he do? He has the faith to trust his dad and trust his father that, you know what? I believe you're right, God will provide. Verse 11, it says this, "But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he said again, 'Here am I.' He said, 'Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, 'The Lord will provide.' As it is said to this day, 'On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.' And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice.' So Abraham returned to his young men, And they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived in Beersheba. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would speak this morning to our hearts, take away any distraction, any voice that has been spoken over us. Let us remember that you still speak, you still have words for us to hear, so give us ears to hear this morning. Not from me, it's too shallow a goal, not from this church, but from you. Holy Spirit, we pray that you speak the loudest. And we pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've got a few thoughts on this morning. All of us have our faith tested. Anybody ever feel that your faith has been tested? I pray that it has never been this difficult a test. But I want you to know this morning that Isaac was Abraham's everything. So I want us to take the weirdness out of it, of this calling. Again, I want to say this. It was never God's intent. He was never going to let this happen. Provision was always the thing. It was always this. It was always the provision of God. And so I want you to take that. I want you to take the weirdness out of it, of it being the son. And I want you to think about this, that Abraham was called to give and lay down his everything. I got a question this morning. What is your everything? I mean, you know what it is. Like, it's already there probably in your mind. What if God calls you to lay it down today? Will you do it? You see, I mean, we're gathered together as a community, as odd as we are. But we're gathered together as a community today to honor Jesus, to be a family in His name. And the Sunday school church answer is, yes, I would lay everything down. I would lay it all down. But let's kind of wade through and really ask ourselves, would you lay everything down? If we're honest, and I try to be honest when I teach, I can't answer yes to that. And I also can't answer what your everything is, but you know it. And so I ask the question, would you do it? This may seem kind of out of left field, but no more than we as a group and what we're witnessing together today is out of left field. But I want to ask you something that may feel out of left field, but anybody know the author, Francis Chan? Have you ever heard that name? Great, great writer, great preacher, speaker. Always been one of my favorites. He had this story one time, and it has been so impactful to me because, unfortunately, I can't paint myself as a positive example to the answer of his question. In fact, I'm on the negative side of things, but I want to share it because I believe it helps answer. Am I willing to lay down everything, or is Jesus my everything? I want you to picture a life to where you could leave this place, you could leave sin, you could leave the temptation of sin, your struggle, your addiction, your affliction, whatever the bad things are, the hurt, the loss, the pain, and enter into a place of perfection, heaven, if you will, and all its glory, everything that is there, everything that we read in Scripture, no more crying, no more death, no more sickness, no more pain. Right? You with me? You tracking? Now I want you to add all of your family, all of your friends that you've lost, everything that you've lost, no more wants, no more desires, no more needs. Everything is taken care of, but there is one single thing missing, and that is the presence of Jesus Christ. Would you sign up for it? We could lie all we want at church and say, man, not me. Give me Jesus. That's all I need. Most of us, if we're honest, on a good day, and I'm telling you I would say this, would probably say, sign me up. That's all we know. Jesus is only accessible to us through faith. We can't see Him. We can't touch Him. We can't talk one-on-one as we would with each other. And so many of us would forego the presence of Jesus if everything else would be made right. If you answer yes, like I do to that many times, then He is not your everything. There's no shame. There's no accusation there. It's just something we pray and we ask. Jesus, deepen my faith in you. Deepen my walk with you. That when that question is answered again, I would say, no, it's not worth it to be separated from the presence of you, Jesus. And so I ask the question again. Your everything, would you lay it down? Maybe those everythings are even like Abraham's good things, family, ministry, helping others, all of those things. Would you lay it down should he call you to do it in a moment? I can't answer what that everything is for you. I can only point to you that it would take faith. He tells Abram, take your son and offer him as a burnt offering. Abraham rose early and went. I can't imagine that. But I can tell you this, he wants the same for you and me. He wants us to have that same kind of faith. He wants us to be in that moment that when he calls us, that we say, here I am, and we arise and we go. Anybody want to put yourself in the same canoe with me and paddle on down the stream and say, you know what, Jesus, I'm going to need a few more answers, right? Like, where are we going, first off? Like, you ain't even told me where. You're just going to tell me to go, and I don't even know where I'm going. I need to know where we're going to end up. Can I tell you this, and this is not patting me on. We got amazing leaders and helpers and people that have helped this thing happen. You think I ever dreamed up being in a parking lot and doing what we're doing? That wasn't for me. I don't have that kind of twisted sense of, like, reality. I mean, we started as a house church, went to a building, and just thought that was going to be it. God put us here, and I'm so glad he did, but we didn't dream that up. We didn't have the rest of the destination. He just said go, and there was a few people that went, and I'm grateful for it. We didn't have the rest of the story. Can I tell you this, I don't know where the rest of this body goes from here. We don't have the rest of the story. He may, get ready, he may call us to something crazier than this. And I'm asking you, will you go? I hope you will, because we're going to try to follow. If anybody ever questions, he's the pastor of this church. He's the one that leads. We follow him, and it will require faith. It's going to require faith in your own personal journey. Whatever he calls you on, make no mistake, we are to learn and witness from this that it will require faith. Again, faith is complete trust and confidence in someone, or someone being Jesus. Two things I want to point out before we get out of this passage. Two very cool portions of this passage, I think. In 22:14, it says this, the Lord will provide. Now, we're talking about the faith of Abraham and Isaac, but all I want to tell you is this, I got good news. Anybody need some good news in a day like today? Your provision is promised too. You may not feel like it. Listen, we get real here. You may be living on the street right now, and it's tough. And I can't put myself, I don't understand all that you feel from that. And there's no judgment. You know our heart in that. But all I can tell you is this, that it may not be the provision that we would wrap up and dream and set under, you know, a tree and say, man, here's a gift for you and this is what it's going to look like. But I can tell you this, he's providing. You're here. You're in the fight. In fact, today is a model of his provision. The fine folks, you know, from Woodstock came this morning. That's from them, and I'm grateful for that. But you know why they came? Because they know the Lord and the Father provided for them to provide to you. It's all the Father's provision. They tell you the same thing. It's about Jesus. It's not a pat on the back for them. It's not a pat on the back for anybody here. It's for him. It's the love of Jesus. You know that, right? Like, can I tell you this? I can't even make lasagna. That stuff looked good this morning. Y'all did an awesome job. And I know this. All I know is that there's layers of lasagna. Can I tell you, every layer was made with the fact that they want you to know Jesus? It's provision. The only way that happens, though, it's going to require faith. But I can tell you this, the Lord will provide. Guys, if I was to stand here till 5 o'clock today, I could go scripture after scripture, promising you provision from the Word. Don't freak. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to give you one. This is the one that overwhelmingly came to my mind today. It is one that I know by heart. I know very few scriptures by heart. If I know it, I probably can't tell you where it's at. I'm just terrible that way. I don't know what this says about your heart. I can quote movies probably from start to finish. I can't quote the Word of God like that. Forgive me. But John 10:10 says this. Jesus says, he talks about the thief coming to kill and destroy, but he said, I have come to give you life, but not only that, to give it to you more abundantly. He is here about your provision. He is providing. And if you would say this morning, not for me, no, he's not. I want to just tell you, the author and finisher of your faith is providing breath in your lungs, a pulse in your body, rhythm to your heart. He has you here for a reason and a purpose, and it's to know him and to love him. He is all about abundant provision. The second cool thing that I see in this, there's no judgment, but I want to ask you a question. Anybody here ever used the statement or heard somebody use the statement, I swear to God? Anybody ever said that in your life? How cool would it be to be God and be able to swear by yourself? Listen to what he says. He does it. Hold on. Wind took my verse away. He says in 22:15, I believe. Nope, 16. By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord. So here's what I want to tell you in that. About his provision, his abundant provision in Jesus. You don't have to take my word for it. By himself he has sworn that he will provide. One thing that our God is not is a liar. He has sworn by himself, and we can take him at his word, that he is for you. But here's where you come in. I'll close with this statement. It requires faith. You got to take that step. He's given provision, but you have to take that step in Jesus. I'll ask you this question. What do you need to lay down? And where and how does your faith need to grow? Some of you, it may be that first step of saying, I trust you for the first time. That's only possible in Jesus and his death on the cross. If that's you, take it today. Meet him for the first time. If you already know him, what step in faith do you need to take? Let's pray together. I want to ask that question as you bow your heads, close your eyes, ask you one more time. What do you need to lay down? And where and how does your faith need to grow? Jesus, will you answer those questions over our heart, over our spirit, and over our mind? Be with us all today. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for our friends coming and serving this morning. They're a blessing to us, a blessing to you. Again, we pray your blessings over their church family that are at home, that you just continue to grow them and their relationship with you as they do outreach in their community, try to love on others and point them to you. We don't take for granted that they came this morning. It wasn't just food, that's wonderful. It wasn't just a smile, that's wonderful. The fact that they came to love on people in Jesus' name is where it's at. We thank you for that. We just ask that you speak over our hearts this morning. Every person here, what do we need to lay down? Where does our faith need to head? In you. Jesus, will you speak that over our hearts this morning? We love you. We thank you. Thank you for meeting with us today. Holy Spirit, you don't need our permission, but we ask that you continue to speak as we leave this place. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all hang tight. We'll call out names here in just a few. All my rap is Papa Cat, Papa Collar, Papa Tag, Hoppin' Pollers, Copper Jack, throw hammers on top of that. All of that was BS. Then I met J-E-S-U-S. I'm a child of God, why would I be less? Christ love us all, even those the world rejects. He kept homie, that's the bottom line like a BS. My mother has reached that beautiful city. My father still walking. In sin, my sister and my brother were on me,
Sometimes I'm tossed and driven. Sometimes I don't know where to run. 'Cause I dream of a city called heaven. And I'm trying to make heaven my home. I said, tell me what this coming made my blood. Sure enough, it made my blood. One tear echo. Sometimes I'm tired and driven. Sometimes I don't know where to run. 'Cause I dream of a city called heaven. And I'm trying to make heaven my home.